Yemeni number one.
You silly bitches. You won, motherfucker. Okay, one guy's watching. Thank God you guys are paying attention to the Twitter. Sorry for the mishap, guys. You know how it is. Every show we have to have some type of technical difficulty. Guys, I want you to put your hands together for the man, the myth, the legend, Trix.
Who made that intro beat?
Oh, I found it.
It was dope. I almost kicked a freestyle.
Oh, did you? Yeah. It's a good beat, though. I like it because it's a beat I had to try to find that was kind of like hip-hop, my energy, but then it also had the Yemeni little...
So you found it and you just took it?
Yeah.
You're hilarious.
What do you mean?
So you never hit the producer up and been like...
Oh, no. It was you fucking piece of shit. No, man. It was...
Like
no.
This guy just jacked the intro beat for his... podcast.
I bought it. It was royalty free.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I bought the license to use it. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, yeah, man, I heard this beat. I just took the shit.
Nah, cuz I'm not. No.
That's funny.
That would be funny.
I would have laughed my ass off.
Fuck it. You made me want to play it again.
What if the one
Republic Yemeni number one?
Fuck yeah, we played it again. Huh? That's the first time we ever did that on this podcast.
It sounds like a theme song for a really C-list wrestler.
Fuck you! Ah, it sounds like a fucking...
A C-list wrestler coming down the aisle.
Yeah.
Like he only wrestles on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, yeah. And on Sunday afternoons, and he's really an accountant by day.
Yeah. He gets beat up. He loses every match. He gets beat up. He gets beat up by the good wrestlers.
Yeah.
What up, son?
What up, buddy, man? I'm so glad to have you. All right, more guys are popping in. Thank you very much.
I like this apartment.
Phone lines are open if you guys want to call in.
He's got a sword, guys.
Yes, that is my Marine Corps sword.
Okay. Well.
That's the NCO sword. That's the sword that you get when you hit a specific rank.
Well, I won't try to steal anything from your house.
That's only a ceremonial sword. You can't actually, you could stab someone with it, but it's not sharp like that.
Yeah, I'm not sharp from here.
It's it's ceremonial, bro.
It's a pirate sword.
Guys, why do you have Tricks on the casting couch? Oh, why do I have Tricks on the casting couch? Because Tricks gives the best blowjobs, yo.
Don't no. You know? Hey, man, don't do that because then everyone's going to be DMing me going, bro, why did you give the best blowjobs? You want to know.
Guys, if you don't know Tricks, man, you guys really should. Good. More people are popping in. What's up, y'all? It's good to... you know, Tricks is I'm just going to give you a quick story about Tricks. And
before you do, how many people have been on this couch? I want to know the story about this couch. Really? You have me on the. Because I know you, bro.
It's a couch. What do you expect?
Yeah, and there's lights. Okay.
Oh, come on, bro. You think I keep this up all the time?
Normally, when there's a casting couch, things
are. It's not a casting couch. It's a couch.
Look at the scratches on that one.
That used to be where my cat was here.
Your cat did that?
That's how she says she loves me.
You sure it wasn't like an audition that was trying to get away? You sure? I don't know what? I feel like I'm an accessory to something in this place.
What? First, you just said that you liked my place. You thought it was nice.
Dude.
And then now you're going to fucking rip it apart?
I'm not ripping it, but in 3 minutes I've been here. You've ripped off a producer's beat. There's a sword hanging.
I didn't rip off a producer's
beat. And it looks like hostage marks on your couch, bro.
Yeah, bro. That is...
I don't know.
Listen, bro.
I hear one siren. I don't
have to force myself on women, Mick.
I know you don't.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on.
I know you don't, which is why that's disturbing.
So the couch. All right, before we get into it, you really want to talk about the couch?
Nah, you know what? Sometimes I think it's better you just don't know.
Yeah, bro, that's what I thought, man.
I'm going to sanitize after.
So, guys, you should definitely follow Trix, comedian Trix on Instagram and everything else.
Yo.
This guy's got like 300, 400,000 followers on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah.
He is a murderer. How long you been in the game now?
15 years.
15? I was looking up videos and I found a Laugh Factory thing from 10 years ago. I was like, horrible. Man, it's mother.
Horrible set.
We're still good compared to how you are now.
I mean,
the way you are now is a total, my God.
It's funny, man, because you watch those sets, you're like, ugh, you cringe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't like watching old sets.
I don't like what, well.
I cringe, man.
I kind of cringe too, but sometimes I can watch an old set and it'll remind me of a thing that I used to do in that set that I should do again. Or true, like a certain setup that I would do or a tag that I forgot about. True. You know what I mean?
I have listened to old albums and been like, oh yeah, man, that joke used to be really good. I don't know why I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do that, but then you watch like how, because that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm only 5 years in, bro. I saw a video of me 1 year in when I was doing World Series of Comedy, and it was...
World Series.
I would have to say, when I look at it, I'm like, bro, pretty good for fucking 1.5 year in. But man, I watch and I'm just like, ugh. Like, I could see...
Yeah.
How I'm not fully there. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Like when the more experience I get, the more I start to find that, like, when people say you find your comedic voice, it's not just your voice.
I don't even know if I found mine yet.
Oh, you fucking found it, bro.
I know me personally, I was very raw when I first started.
Raw meaning?
Like, I was just raw. I didn't have any structure. I didn't have, you know, I think that's the best way to put it. I didn't have any structure when I started. I literally just would go up there and just try to be funny. And even if it meant doing some of the shittiest, hackiest shit.
Oh, really?
Back in the day.
Well, I mean, listen, honestly, what do you think about this? When you first start, okay, how's this? When I first create a joke, a lot of the times the joke can be hacky-ish.
Hack is a word that gets thrown around a lot, though. You have to be very careful. Hack is a word invented by hater comedians, though. Because... when someone goes a hack joke, is something that's been done before, which is essentially what a hack joke is, an easy joke to do. It's like, okay, but dude, some of your favorites then, some of your favorites that you call the GOAT have hacky jokes then. If it's by that standard, then Chappelle's a hack. Then Bill Burr's a hack. And that's ridiculous. Because we all live life, bro. We all live life. We all have experiences that are similar. So you're going to touch on stuff that may seem too easy. Maybe it's the performer. Maybe he makes it look easy. People need to think about that. You can't.
Oh, really?
I don't use the word hack. You know what I mean? Because
you don't?
I don't. Because I think it's a word that a lot of hater comedians use to try and limit you from doing what you're doing. Because if they see you, right, and you're a year in, and you're blowing up, right, you're killing stages, right, you always have people that try to discredit what you're doing because they don't understand how you're so good so fast. So they'll go, oh, he's a hack. And then when you ask somebody, okay, what do you mean he's a hack? Listen to their explanation afterwards when you go, okay, what do you mean he's a hack? You're kind of like, I mean, he doesn't do anything that's like, you know, original. Really? He doesn't do anything that's original?
Well, there are certain things where I can write sometimes, and when I write and then I come up with a tag, I'll leave it as a placeholder.
Right.
Right? Because I know I need to upgrade it. But in my own thing, I'm like, that tag is hack.
Okay.
It gets a laugh. Okay, fine. It gets the laugh with the artist, but it could be better. It could be deeper. It's the easy tag.
Right. The easier joke is the closest thing I would say to hack. Like, for example, when I'm in Vegas, I'll just to warm the crowd up, I'll make fun of Circus, which every comic in Vegas
for
does.
Sure.
That's hacky.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll do that just to, yeah, I'll to break. If I'm like hosting, I'll do a little fucking whatever just to get the audience going.
Eric Schwartz, is it Eric Schwartz? What was his name? The one he passed. Eric, was it Myers? Eric Myers?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Eric Myers. He was really, he was, God rest his soul, he was so good. He has an incredible circus joke. You know what I mean? So I'm saying circus, the subject in Vegas might be hacky, but if you can come up with something dope.
Sure.
Then I can't, I'm not going to call you out.
No, I don't think, listen, that's
what Eric Myers, that was his
name. Eric Myers. What you're saying is that it, listen, there's a difference between a premise and an execution.
Yeah.
Right? The premise may be like, oh, circus. That's all. Oh, everyone's doing the circus thing in LA. Okay.
Everybody makes fun of circus.
The premise could be hack.
Yes, the premise could be hack.
Right?
Right.
But your execution could be clever.
Exactly. And Eric Myers easily has one of the best.
Do you know what it was?
I don't even want to ruin it. Like, it's so good. And you can find it online. He talks about, like, the incidental fees. Because you know what? He uses circus, but it could easily be a joke about hotels in general.
Yes.
And he goes into like.
So that means it's a good joke.
It's so funny, dude. He talks about like, really, it's $65 to authorize on my card. So it really cost me $65 to fuck up your room. And then he just goes into like, it's, and that's so brilliantly true. And then he goes into like. How, like, you know, the core of Circus and how, like, you know, the clowns.
That's different. That sounds to me like somebody
so good.
Who made a very, very good joke that you could implement to any, you could put any hotel into it and it would work.
You know what? It doesn't even have to be about Circus.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he just used Circus because he was in Vegas.
For sure.
It's the go-to diss hotel.
And what's wrong with that?
Right. So what I'm saying is, to my original point is, maybe like what you said is right. When you say sometimes a premise, right? Maybe the circus is hack. But I think what you do with that joke,
yes,
if you can make circus your own,
exactly,
then I don't think it's hack.
Good. Well, then I agree. I agree too, man. I don't think that. But I will say that when even when I first started out, there was things that I had to get out of my set.
True.
That I knew was hack. Listen, even though when I was doing stand-up for only a year at that time, I was in comedy 20 years. Writing, directing, comedic acting.
Oh, you mean like on the stage?
You know,
like,
and Second City. I was living and breathing comedy.
See, I didn't know that about you, too. Because when you first meet Mike Ishak, the I don't think Broadway. You don't look.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't. Clearly, you're talented.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Upon first,
I don't look like a theater guy.
No, you don't.
I don't look like a guy that would be taking theater appreciation classes.
Your face doesn't say Rent to me. It doesn't say Glee to me.
Dude, I'm not that though. I don't like shows like Rent.
You look like
like shows like Glee. That's not my thing.
I was like, if this guy loses, because I met you at World Series, right?
Yeah.
I go, you look like if this guy loses, he's gonna kill everybody.
What do you?
He's gonna punch people in the face. Maybe I should do a different round.
That's the problem with me, man. My look is always mean, dude, and that's the thing that I always have
resting
to get
bitch
over.
Face?
Yeah, I'm resting. I hate you, face. Yeah, you know what I mean? This guy's an asshole. This guy's gonna be mean to me. This guy's gonna be whatever. That's what people get from me. People with anxiety, they get around me, and their anxiety goes up through the roof, and I have to try to calm them the fuck down.
You're a big dude.
And I think it's just how I carry myself. But my point is that, like, even now, man, when I write certain jokes, sometimes just to do it on stage,
right?
The premise that I'm working on, it's so early, some parts of it are kind of hack.
Well,
but I'm actually still doing those parts because I know they're placeholders and I'm trying to figure it out. And then sooner or later, what happens is I find out I should just get rid of that whole section.
You can unhack a joke.
Or I unhack it, meaning that the whole time I've been thinking, sooner or later, I got to come up with something that's better than this.
Right.
And then you come up with it.
Yeah.
Or you don't come up with it. And then either that joke's got to go or that little section's got to go.
Me personally, I love writing on stage. It's my favorite shit. Because I don't like to put too much thought into writing a joke. And I know that sounds horrible to say, but the reason why I'm saying that is because I don't like me to seem scripted at all on stage. I want it to come across as natural as possible. So what I do is I'll have a premise. And then the first thing I ask myself is when I'm writing a joke is, what's my point? Like, what's the point I'm trying to make?
Sure. What's the
because
theme?
Because that makes it easier to write.
The
right?
Theme is also like a theme, point, goal.
Yeah, if I don't have a point or a stance or something, then I can't get passionate about what I'm talking
about.
So I always talk about, okay, what's the point? Like, what are you trying to say?
Exactly.
And then once you figure that out, then it makes it a little easier. And then I start throwing stuff out on stage. So I go, it's like a small room,
and then I'll work it out. I'll throw out the ideas and see what catches, what makes people laugh.
Right.
And I like to formulate. I take times of jokes. Like, people think they got to write a joke in one day. You know, sometimes some of your best shit takes a good few months sometimes to be really done and properly executed.
Sometimes it takes longer.
Takes longer, right? I know people that have written a joke for a year.
My eyebrow joke took me fucking 3 years to make work. One of the reasons why is because I had to wait for the public to catch up.
Dude, my Bart Simpson joke took a year to write.
Oh, no shit.
Took a year. And that's a true story. But that joke started out as one thing. And then a really good professor of mine who was actually into Second City and stuff. He did comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you trying to say? And I was like, I don't really know. I just think it's funny. And he's like, I feel there's more there.
Sure.
And then I told him, and then as I'm telling him the joke and I told him the story, he goes, why isn't that in there? That whole story, that really happened? Then why is it not in there? Why is it not in there? And I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't think. He's like, that's the bit. Fuck everything else.
It's
everything
very
else,
funny, huh?
It's crazy because then he just morphed the whole joke.
Sure.
Because it started out.
Because he gave you a focal point.
He did. It started out as a joke about carnival games. Games and carnivals. And then he was like, no. Fuck all that. What you just told me, that story with Bart Simpson doll in the roller coaster, that's the bit.
That's the bit.
He goes, do that. And don't even try to write it. Like, tell
that
the story.
That story.
As you just told it to me. And then you'll find the funny in there. You don't even need to embellish
exactly.
it. Exactly. And then that's how that joke came.
Isn't that funny how some of that stuff is? And that's why I like doing writer's groups. I just started with these other comics. We like every once a week we'll get together, we'll start talking our jokes, and everyone will talk about it. It's great. Because so many times, I remember was like somebody else was doing a joke about, I forgot what it was, but then I was like, let's talk about the story. So he ended up telling the story. Then he said something about his dad. And I was like,
there it is.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. It's funny how some of your best jokes.
It's still the same joke. But now that you have this goal, mm-hmm. now that you set it up through whatever it is, hey, my dad, now that thing tracks better.
You know, the funny thing about even me started talking about my parents, that came from an OG comic. An OG comic was like, look, all that other shit you do on stage is funny, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to hear more about your pops.
Yeah.
That's what's going to break you.
And that's your fucking biggest.
And I never knew that.
Most crushing bit ever.
I was so ignorant, dog.
He got a standing ovation at the Hollywood Improv Monday on Monday Race.
That was terrifying.
Which is a predominantly urban room. It is not an easy room.
Absolutely.
A lot of killers that are killers get nervous in that room.
We watched somebody, I'm not gonna name the name, but we watched a celebrity bomb,
who we know is funny.
Yeah.
And so they're funny.
Proven
they're comic. Proven to be funny.
Proven comic.
Fucking bombed.
And, okay, and in that
this room.
And in this comic's defense, I like to think he was working on newer shit. And that wasn't the room to do it, because they want funny now. You understand? Like, there are rooms where you could go and you could throw in some new stuff in there, but there are rooms where you need to come with your greatest hits. They're not trying to hear you work out shit.
I think in black rooms, you must open with a closer.
Buddy.
You must open with one of your closers.
You have 10 seconds in a black room.
10 seconds?
10 seconds. Whether they're going to decide if they like
it. I told you about that bomb that I had at the Cleveland Improv.
I saw it.
And then apparently somebody taped it and was showing other people.
Buddy, showed it to me.
Which pisses me off. How the fuck are they taping and showing my fucking
shit? But you know what's funny? I wasn't laughing at you bombing, because that shit happens. I was laughing at how the crowd is when you bomb.
They were playing spades.
That's fucking hilarious.
They were playing spades during my set.
Like, I mean, full out cards.
Like, they just broke into a game.
And they're talking as if you're not there.
Yes, that's why I tell people, if you bomb in front of a black room, now you're talking to a cafeteria.
I'd rather
people just having lunch.
Dude, I'd rather be booed than like I think being booed, I'd rather that than, you know, them just talking, just breaking
up. That was
the
hardest bomb I ever had
in
my entire life. But what you didn't see was I redeemed myself on the second show. There was a second show right after that. And I murdered, because I realized this is a black room, open with a closer.
You can't.
And I opened up with my TSA closer, and then I came up with a local joke. and they were on board the rest of the show. It's really funny, right? It's like you have to prove yourself with a black audience.
You really, especially in New York.
And if you don't
get it,
if you don't get it in the first joke, they write you off completely.
Literally 10 seconds. As soon as you get up there, as soon as they go, give it up for so-and-so, and you come up there, they are already sitting there like this. They're to the head to the side. They're already like, you better be motherfucking funny. Like somebody might as well just say that while you go up there. Yeah. And you can see their faces like.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, make me laugh, motherfucker.
But you know what's good about those bombs? You grow from it, bro. I came up with 2 new jokes after that fucking bomb set. And the jokes that I use now when I travel, and it fucking works.
Bernie Mac's I Ain't Scared of You motherfuckers set is the blueprint for that shit. It's the blueprint for how to approach scary black rooms. It is the blueprint. You go up like you don't give a fuck.
I give a fuck.
And you need to be confident. And you need to let them know, listen, I don't give a shit if you laugh or not. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And they actually respect that more than you going, so how's everybody doing?
Yes, exactly.
You can't do that in a black room, huh? So, you know, ladies with no man make some noise. Like, they don't want to hear that. Get to the funny now, bro. They're not. Like, if you do that, I've seen it. I remember one dude from, they booed this guy to his car. And when I say that, people think that I'm exaggerating. Mike, I've never seen anyone get booed to their vehicle. Okay? This guy, dude, it was Brooklyn, New York. I'll never forget this, dude. It was Brooklyn, New York.
He get booed to his vehicle?
Yeah. It was Brooklyn, New York.
They walked outside?
Yes. So, okay, I'll tell you what happened. So, it was Brooklyn, New York in a movie theater.
Fuck, I love tricks.
Movie theater, dude. And everybody's there. And it was packed. And they were rowdy. You know what I mean? Rowdy. And, you know, I do my set. I do well. Host is ripping people apart. This guy from Tennessee comes there. Thought he could do, like, some South shit. He was too mellow. And New York likes their comedy in your face.
They want it. Trust me. That's why I love New York.
You know, Rod Stapleton's on this show.
I'm perfect for New York. I love New York.
Michael Blackson's on this show.
Oh, shit.
These are killers.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy goes up, and he just proceeds to, like, talk about, you know, New York women and, bruh. He bombs, okay? So he bombs. They boom off stage. So now the show continues, right? So you know how after the show's done, you know how, you know, people come out of the theater, they see the comics. They're like, yo, man, you was funny, dog. You know, and then one dude goes, but this motherfucker here was trash, son. Yo, you wasn't for boo! Right? So they start booing in his face. And he's like standing there taking it, and then it just got too much. So then he goes, I ain't gonna stop booing till you leave, nigga. I was like, oh my God. So they booed him. They walked him to his car, booing him. And I was like, okay, leave him alone, dude. The show's done.
Oh, fuck.
They waited they were booing at his window. They waited till he started the car.
God damn.
He was starting the car.
And then he committed suicide, right? I hope he did.
I don't know how that drive was, dude. But all I
drove
know
off
is
the bridge, man.
They're boot like picture someone like you're trying to turn your car,
yeah.
And there's a guy boot your window's up, and you're hearing, "Boo, nigga, you're trash, absolute trash." And they're booing him, and then he drives off, and I was just like, "Wow, dude,
that is fucking hilarious, bro."
I go, "You couldn't even just let him hang out in the lobby?
They should just gave him a gun."
And even the girl was like, I guess, I don't know if it was his girlfriend. She's like, yeah, why he's so mean? Like, he had a bad set. It's bad enough. He's like, I don't give a fuck. This motherfucker can't stay here after that bullshit.
Damn.
Boom.
Damn.
And then Michael Blackson was like, this nigga is booing him after he leaves. He's already gone and he's still booing. I was like, oh, it was funny, but
that's
I was
amazing,
like,
bro.
That's when I was like, Jesus.
That makes me feel good about crushing in New York then. God damn.
At least, that's what I'm saying, your bomb, at least they played spades.
Yeah, they did play spades.
They didn't get up in your face. They didn't, you know, make
But
you...
I learned a lot from that bomb.
Did you learn how to play spades? Because I still don't know how to
play spades. I was in the Marine Corps. That's all we did was play spades. Oh, yeah. Big Mo or Little Mo, what are we doing? That's the one time where white people know how to play spades is when they join the Marines, bro, because all the black people make everyone play spades.
Isn't spades like Bidwiz? Is Bidwiz? I don't know
what. I don't know what Bidwiz is. That's some weird Canadian shit that you're
no,
from.
No, that's a jail game.
That's a what? Jail game?
That's like a. That's like they
it's called Bidwiz?
Bidwiz.
Oh,
I don't know. It's like euchre. You know how to play euchre?
I played euchre, but I have to keep relearning how to play euchre.
So euchre and Bidwiz are similar.
Okay.
And that's why I thought spades was like euchre.
No, spades is more like, I don't know what else it's like.
Listen, we'll just stick to Go Fish Countdown. Fucking, you know, let's just keep it simple, bro.
Okay, but really quick, I just wanna let everybody know about Trix, man, because you know, every time we're like, barrel, this guy is a just listen, man.
He's gonna tell the story.
I don't say so many things to you know that blow people up unless I do.
Is this water like fresh water, or is this from the last casting?
I'm just asking. I have one of the best filters. I use reverse osmosis.
Like, did you pour this today? Or
yes, just now.
Or is this like the hostage water from that person that crawled up?
She squirted, by the way, so she squirted.
Come on.
Hey.
The fucking children.
She squirted on that couch where you're sitting.
Hello.
P.
Am I sitting in it?
Of course.
Oh, good. I want to smell like it.
That's how you pick up women, bro. You fucking have that fucking squirt juice on you. Pheromones.
What's that cologne you're wearing? I don't know.
It's a Kazakhstani squirt.
Kazakhstani squirt. She was Kazakhstani. Good yeah. for you.
Yeah.
Look, you're keeping the, just representing the culture.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I respect it.
What do you mean? We're culture, the rape culture? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Are you talking about like my people? How we like.
You want to get canceled on your own podcast?
Anyways, no. So I want to talk about Trix. This is one of the, my favorite things about doing the World Series of Comedy was getting to meet you, bro, because you are such you're like an apex predator comic, you know?
Because you guys were assholes. Not you. The reason why that because I'm going to let you tell your story.
What do you mean you those guys are assholes?
So
I'm very respectful.
I know you are. You were you and I think one more. What's the black dude's name?
Oh yeah, shit, Cameron. No,
he was such a good dude.
He's got a girl's name.
Yeah, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. You two were the only ones that talked to me when I walked in there. You know, comics give you this, like we're all trying out for the same team.
But so sometimes, like, sometimes don't you feel like sometimes people are just in their head about their set in yeah, competitions? I give people it. The benefit of the doubt because sometimes you'll see me in that mood. There.
Okay, and I know not to bug comics right before the set, but this was a night where some of these guys weren't even performing. And I was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm Trix. And they're like,
Well, you're kind of intimidating to people.
How am I intimidating? I'm just a comic like you guys.
No, but listen, bro, I'm not intimidated by you, but what I'm saying...
Yeah, because you're fucking Marine Corps.
But my point is, I could see how people with anxiety or people who
okay,
are like that's whatever,
fair. That's fair
you know, who probably are kind of insecure about themselves, they're kind of worried that you're going to be the type of person to roast them and make them feel... You know what I mean? I'm not that guy. I know you're not that guy. I'm not that guy, but we look like that guy.
And we look like that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, tell the story.
Anyway, so... We is where I met him was at Zany's Rosemont in Illinois.
Great room.
And we were all performing and it's like all week of shows and then you move on and you move on and you move on. So mm-hmm. 40 comics compete, only 3 make it to the finals. And it was myself, Trix, and some other guy. I forget who it was. That I think it was that one black comic.
The black comic who was the favorite to win.
Yes.
Because
I ended up coming second.
Talking to a lot of the bookers and stuff, he was the favorite to win.
Yeah. Well, and he's good.
And he's great.
He's great.
And he had a killer set that night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And I remember people were telling me about you. I think even like Joe Lowers is just like, oh, man, yeah, but yeah, look out for that boy Trix, man. He's like, whatever.
Yeah, Lowers is an asshole. He makes people hate me.
But he's not. He's not.
No, no, he's not doing it out of malice. He's not doing it out of malice at all. But when you are in a contest and the owner is like, hey, look out for so and so.
Well, he's not saying look out, but like when you came in, he's like, oh, that guy's a real funny comic right there. He's fucking, he's been in the game for this long and blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't like he was like trying to like get. No, no, no. It was just throwing shine.
Yeah.
Basically saying, you need to know that guy. You know what I mean? Like, which is cool. And then other people, like, I mean, just other comics, like, yo, man, you know about Trix? You about Trix? Trix. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, what Trix? Anyways, we get down to the final 3. I never really got a chance to talk to him, really. We were sort of like, whatever. And the green room at this place was built to be soundproof.
Yeah.
The only time I heard the audience in that green room was when he hit the fucking stage, man. And I'm not even bullshitting you. All I'm saying is they had a speaker up there so you could hear the comic from the microphone. But the majority of the time, you could not hear the laughs coming because you could only hear what's coming from. This motherfucker was killing people in the audience. They were uncontrollably laughing. The staff was laughing.
Hey, put it this way.
The fucking animals in the walls were laughing. Get the fuck out of here. It was so, I was in the green room, and I could feel the vibration. I was like, this is supposed to be soundproof.
It was a good set.
I opened the damn door. My fucking hat flew off. That's
He's
how
so
much
full of I shite. Bro,
no. Listen, he fucking murdered.
And I did have a good set. I did.
And I don't know, but you don't understand, Trix. That was like, I was really only like a year, not even almost 2 years in. And I just was like, one, I'm not going to get first place. That's number one.
That's always nice to
say. Number one, I'm not going to get first place. Number two, wow. Holy shit.
When did you place? What did you place?
Is there a lot to strive for, bro?
What did you place? Second?
Second.
It was me, you.
Yeah. And then the other guy. Yeah. I forgot his name. But anyway.
You beat him, too.
I beat him, yeah.
Okay.
I had a good set.
You did.
Dude, I'm not. I had a good set.
But
I didn't hit that note you hit.
Yeah, but you were still.
What?
I was like, okay, this guy.
Yeah.
I go a year in.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really? I remember when I congratulated you after. This was a good feeling. You were like, hey, man, it was a fucking great set. And then you said something really cool to me. You were like, I'm going to tell you what, man. I watched every fucking thing because I was trying to figure out who I had to compete. And he goes, when I saw you perform, I was like, that motherfucker. And I was like, oh, that felt good. Then you asked me, how long you been doing it for? I had to look at my Apple Watch. I was like, a year and 6 months.
I couldn't believe that.
And you were like, fuck you.
I couldn't believe that, dude. Because I was like, for a guy that polished a year in, I go, that's pretty impressive.
But that's when I gave you the disclaimer I gave everyone else. I'm fucking almost, at that time, maybe 17 years in comedy.
So didn't know.
Just not stand up.
Right. You know? And then me and you went to the main event, which was in, like, what, Florence, Indiana?
In Florence. I didn't even make it to the top 16 that go around. But
that was nerve-wracking.
But the best thing was is that I got the booker who booked all the funny bones.
See, I didn't come. Me too.
She
was there.
So even though I didn't move on, what I really wanted was to get her because.
Yeah, shout out to, yeah.
Because she was booking 16 clubs.
Buddy, she booked me off of a round. I didn't even win yet. Just like you. Like
she booked me yet. After I lost.
Yeah, she.
She saw me. Fucking
she was actually
lose,
watching she sets. Like, yeah. She. You know what's funny about that contest? I lost my first round. Remember, I came in second, and then when you go in second, you have to go to the second place semis, and then the route to the finals is harder.
It is.
So, and I remember
it
that.
Is true because if you get first, then you get the sort of an easier route.
I still blame DJ Sandu. I tell Sandu.
What do you mean? Why?
Because he was judging. I'm like, yeah, it's your fault.
Ah, he's your fucking friend and your roommate. He should have fucking gave you. He like was in my
roommate.
Point.
Well, he was in my roommate at the time.
But why are you blaming his ass?
Because comics judge like comics. It was Andrew Frank that beat me. And this is no shade to Andrew Frank because Andrew Frank is fucking good.
He's funny.
In terms, and his writing is like, shout out to Andrew Frank.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Andrew Frank.
I don't think that he had the better set that night. This is my opinion. And then I came in second. I was like, okay, well, now I have to go the weird route.
Where but you won it, though.
Yeah. That was the most weirdest World Series. I'm glad they brought it back to Vegas.
The Florence was weird, bro.
Do you know where it is? You know where the main event is this year? Where they're doing it?
Where?
So
they're doing it. No, they're doing it at where Laugh After Dark is, right?
No, so that's the contest is at Notoriety, but the finals, the semis, and the finals
is going to be
Brad Garrett's.
Whoa,
that's crazy.
Whoa,
that's crazy. You know how hard
it is to get
in that club?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So you're going to get to perform in, like, Cindy's going to obviously be there.
Fuck, I need to do it now this year.
You came in, didn't you play second 1 year?
I played second. I came in second place.
You can
place.
Go back in. I did that. I
Listen,
came in second
I,
1 year.
I didn't go in last year because I already fucking got second the first year.
In
2020.
I hear you because I lost in 2000.
Was it 2020 or 2021?
I lost 2013. I came in second. And then I never competed again until 2018.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, I don't want to just come back right away. Not only that, I kind of wanted to free up my time to sort of like expand my, you know, my reach to other parts of the business.
But you work most of the clubs anyways. Like, you don't really need, and you know, because the cool thing about World Series is you're going there.
There was a handful of those clubs that didn't give me work though, man.
But you're also going there to network with the bookers that are there.
That's what I'm saying.
And I know a lot of people like yourself who didn't win, but you work a lot of those clubs.
I networked.
Because, yeah.
Sometimes, because to me, I didn't let my ego get to me. I let a friend of mine here in LA know. I said, hey, I need you to go do that thing because you'd be good for it. Because he's a funny comic and he's a good writer. Yeah. Okay, but hold on a second. He did it, and then he comes back and he goes, man, it was fucking stupid. I'm like,
lost.
Hold on a second. I'm like, what do you mean it's stupid? What happened? He's like, well, I went and did the thing, and I clearly was way better. He goes, I fucking murdered. I had the best set. He goes, Mike, he goes, I'm not someone who's going to sit there and be like, everything I do is great. But he goes, I fucking murdered, and I didn't move on. And I was like, man, fuck this. And then I was like, okay, so then what did you do after that? He goes, oh, I just went home.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You let your ego get to you.
If you had the set you said you had, you should have stayed.
Exactly.
But I get it, because I've lost in rounds where I thought I shouldn't have lost, and then you get mad and pissy and you leave. You shouldn't leave, because if you had that great of a set, that's when you go to the book.
That's exactly what I did.
Introduce yourself.
That's exactly what I did.
You will get a book that goes, hey, you know what? I'm sorry you didn't win. I don't know why you didn't win, but I'm telling you right now, you were great. Here, take my card.
Shannon at the House of Comedy.
Yeah.
House of Comedy, Arizona. I fucking did never. I didn't even move on in the first round or whatever it was.
Did you give your?
But my set was fucking great.
Exactly.
And she came up and she's like, I need to get you here. And she gave me a date on the spot as soon as I walked off the stage.
Eric from Looney's. Eric Hawkinson, shout out to him, was the very first U.S. guy to give me a card. And that was after round one at the main event.
Oh, wow.
My first time ever doing it. That was the year Landry came in like a freight train.
Sure.
And destroyed all us all.
Right.
Alicia Cooper was in there too.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is when Dave Williamson was in it. Like, these are all like guys who are touring now. As soon as I got off stage... I don't think we even heard the results yet of who's moving on.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, man, like your style, like your shit, man. Here, I got a club in Colorado Springs. Hit me up. First guy ever.
That's awesome.
First guy. And then Matt and Joaquin were the first Vegas.
You're talking about Looney's.
Looney's, yeah.
In Colorado Springs.
First.
He's a cool ass dude.
First guy, as a kid from Canada. First dude to
shout out to Eric.
Give me a card, bro.
Yeah. He gave me work off of World Series and comedy, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I remember Matt and Joaquin, what they were doing when they had LA Comedy Club in Cabo Wabo. They had Cabo Wabo's a restaurant above Planet Hollywood in Vegas. And they were doing it there. So what they did was they used that week to just give out guest spots to all the comics that were in town. So all you had to do was approach them. And then they'd give you like a night.
Damn.
So that's how I got in with them.
That's nice.
And I remember Landry was the one that hooked that up. Landry's like, yo, go talk to those guys. And I was like, they look like mob bosses.
They do look like mob bosses.
Back in the day when Matt had the black ponytail.
He still has it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but now there's some gray in there.
Yeah.
You know Matt. You know, like,
now okay. I know him. I kind of feel good. But they do have this look, man. When I first met him, I was like.
They look like mob bosses, dude.
Like Mexican or something mob bosses.
Cartel.
Cartel people.
Yeah, they look like cartel.
They look like cartel people. Like it made me go. This is a front, right? You like, guys are Landry, doing something else.
You asked him. I said, Landry, you asked him for me. I don't want to talk to these guys.
I got to reach out to Matt again, man. He tried to book me, and then the TV show happened, and I got to reach out to him again.
Yeah, that's a problem to have when a TV show. That's,
I know, man. Jesus, but it's like, I want to work.
Your life is so hard, bro.
Fuck you, bro.
Oh, the fucking problems, you know? Fucking TV show. Shit.
Hey, listen, guys. This guy is just, if you ever get a chance, and you heard me on this podcast, I talk up comedians, but this one here, I mean.
We're going to go eat food.
He got a standing ovation at the Hollywood Improv, and it was amazing.
I'm actually proud of that, dude, because that room is fucking hard.
It was a hard room, man. A lot of people before you, even though they did well, they weren't getting the laughs that I felt they deserved because that room is harder. Darius Bennett opened it up. Darius Bennett is a murderer.
Funny, dude.
He's funny, man. He's
my gosh.
Old Detroit cat, man. He's so funny, man.
Darius Bennett is hilarious.
Hilarious, dude. Bro. Now he's already on Netflix's radar, man. We're going to be seeing him. He's
so smooth.
Such a smooth cat, isn't he? So Detroit.
I love the way he executes his joke. He reminds me a little bit of Tony Woods. Like a little bit. Not too much.
Oh, really?
He's so good.
Dude. With that way, he's got that smooth pimp suave. You know what I mean?
But I like his jokes. It's very original. It talks about you know, his just him and his wife and his baby.
How hard it was to name the baby, because then I don't want to break the joke, but it's just like,
that's a good joke.
That's funny.
That's
man.
A really good joke.
Shout out to Darius Bennett, man. But Darius Bennett opened it up.
Yep.
Right? He did great.
I thought he did great.
He did great.
Yeah.
But I've seen Darius crush.
Yeah.
And my point is that
in a regular comedy crowd, I'm sure he would have murdered.
He would have fucking obliterated that room.
You don't put him first either.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was with him at the store.
Yeah.
I think we did Crack 'Em Up together.
Yeah.
And I watched this guy fucking.
He's hilarious, bro.
And no, not we only did Developmentals, but no, we did the Saturday.
Yeah. The thing that I love about Darius, though, is that he cleaned himself up. That guy was really? A hoe. He was the guy that you called. He was the guy that you called to ask, how do you spell chlamydia? Because that motherfucker got that shit so many fucking times.
Oh my God. He was that bad?
He was always drunk. He was like, he would just, he even talks about it in his set. And,
he does.
He sobered up, for real sobered up. He doesn't do anything anymore.
He is really talented.
He's married. Man. He's got a kid. He's holding it down. And ever since he went sober, bro, man, his fucking jokes.
Yeah, because he's a great writer.
Sharp. He's so sharp. He was always funny.
Yeah, very funny.
But now it was just like, you could see his brain power now is focused.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Darius, man.
Don't forget, but that's my
point. The point that I'm saying is, here I'm talking up Darius, and he crushed in that room, but he didn't crush like he normally crushed. Right. And nobody after that, honestly, crushed.
After
nobody.
Me?
Before you, nobody crushed.
People had moments, though.
They had good sets. Some of them
won a couple. Even Donnell came in there and destroyed, too.
Well, here's the funny thing about Donnell. Can we say?
Oh, Donnell was, he made sure somebody went after me. He was like, nope.
Trix crushed so fucking hard. Got a standing ovation. After him was supposed to be Donnell Rawlings, and Donnell was like, nah, man, I ain't doing that shit. And he even told you.
He said that. He goes, I ain't going after you. He goes, I'm not going after that shit.
Donnell Rawlings is
Because Donnell's coming in for a drop in, and I don't blame him. Like, you're not coming at it after a standing O.
Yeah. You're saying because of his caliber, he's coming in as a drop in spot.
He's the, like, you know, Donnell Rawlings is not a small town comedian.
No,
right?
No.
So him dropping in is supposed to be like the dope part of
the
night,
moment.
You know,
the
right?
moment.
So. You know, he's not coming in after. I don't blame him. I would have did the same shit if I was him.
Yeah.
I would have did
the same. You would have done the same thing, huh?
Hell yeah. I would have been like, nope.
You would have just made some pull, huh? You would have just been like,
put someone before.
Okay, I'm going to have to remember that. So then there's no shame in that, huh?
No. If you're coming there to work out, because Donald's not coming there to prove anything. He's coming there to, you know, just touch the stage. Because D-Ray asked him to.
Mm.
Why would you want to come there to work? Like,
true.
You know what I mean? He's not getting paid.
True.
Right?
True.
He's supposed to be the celebrity dropping. So why the fuck should he have to
he's
go after
so
that?
He's got so many years under his belt. He doesn't
I don't
need,
blame him.
He doesn't need the workout like I need the workout.
We need the workout. We're not in a position to be like, D-Ray, I don't want to go after that. No. He's earned that. Like,
we need to have those bombs. We need to have that whatever following that motherfucker. That
exactly.
You don't want to follow. But he's at that level. It's like, nah, man, you fucking grandfathered in, bro. You already clocked your hours.
Yeah, he's doing the favor.
Yeah.
Right? They asked him, you know, just jump on stage.
But at the same time, man, that's a tip to you, bro. That's
no, I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate it, but I definitely get it.
Yeah. You ready to eat, aren't you?
I'm starving.
Yeah, we are, man. Usually we go over these a little longer, but we got to get like some Korean barbecue with Trix.
Shout out to the people watching, man.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that paid attention to the Twitter and the Facebook to be able to find out where the new link is. I appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. How do they follow you, Trix? Where are you going to be?
At Comedian Trix, buddy.
At
two X's, though. Two X's. I don't, not three.
Yeah. At Comedian Trix. Two X's. TRIXX.
Instagram.
Do you have a website?
TRIXX for Facebook. I don't have a website.
You don't?
No, I had one, but I don't know.
Why not?
We're getting a new one. The other one was crap.
See, I'm done. I'm done doing the go to my Instagram now because Instagram shadow banned me, and I see it.
Everybody is saying that.
No, no, but it is happening. I showed it to you at the lab.
It happened to me. I went through a shadow.
But I showed you. I showed you the this post goes against guidelines, and it wasn't even that bad of a post.
I know.
Here's the thing. Now I'm done. I'm done. So now you want to find me, MikeFromDetroit.com. As soon as you get there, all my social media links are there. So that's what I do now. Yeah, I drive them to my website.
Smart.
Then they can find me on Instagram instead of going, welcome, I can't find you.
And you post your dates and you post.
Everything is on it. Everything.
That's smart.
Everything really is on smart. It. I drive everything. Even this podcast, mm-hmm. even though it's streaming on YouTube, I tell people to go to publicyemeni.com because I have the link streaming there.
That's such a dope name.
Public Yemeni, yeah.
Public Yemeni.
I'm thinking about starting another podcast because I'm very sex positive and I'm Muslim and I'm going to call it.
You say you're very sex positive?
Very. For a Muslim, very. For somebody who's raised Muslim, raised in the very conservative, like strict kind of way, I've grown to be extremely sex positive, but I had to grow into that. And I think I kind of want to like talk about it because I love talking about sex and relationships, and I think people should have more sex.
Yeah.
And should be very open.
Just not like the sex.
Do you know? Here. Well, this is not. Come on, bro.
If only you guys can see.
And then I'm going to call the podcast Sleeping with the Yemeni.
Sleeping with the Yemeni? That's dope.
Instead of sleeping with the enemy, I'm just going to keep doing dope. That pun. You know what I mean?
Yo, Yemeni. That's dope.
Guys, I would love to keep this going on even longer, but I can see this motherfucker is about to get hypoglycemic. He's about to get angry.
I got shows tonight, buddy. Yeah. I need to eat and go get some din-din.
All right, guys. I love you. Thank you. Follow me, MikeFromDetroit.com. And those of you that are listening, hope to see you on the live podcast.
Come on.
Peace out.
Public Yemeni number one.